The NBA draft takes place tonight in Brooklyn, and the Celtics have created plenty of buzz leading up to tonight's event. They traded away the number one pick to the Philadelphia 76ers earlier this week and received the third overall selection in return, plus a potentially high draft pick in a future draft. WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer joins us this morning to explain what Celtics president of basketball operations Danny Ainge was thinking about and what lies ahead for his team. Good morning, Shira.
Good morning.
So, first of all, why did the Celtics trade away the number one pick?
Well, a pretty simple reason. Danny Ainge thought he could get the player he would have selected at the number one position in the number three position. So why not move down in the draft and get another asset? And that asset was a future first round pick. So for him and for the team, Ainge thought that was a win-win scenario.
Who's he think he's going to get at number three that he might have gotten at number one?
All signs are pointing to Jason Tatum, a 6'8", forward out of Duke. He's the player that all the basketball pundits seem to be circling as the Celtics pick. But with Ainge, you never know. He's full of surprises, as this trade shows. And until that pick is made, you have no idea.
So given that, what do you think is going to happen tonight? More trades on the horizon? And what about a longer-term strategy for the Celtics and Danny Ainge?
Yeah, who knows what will happen tonight? I mean, there have been rumors flying around that the Celtics might even trade that number three pick, try to collect some more future assets, get more draft picks that they can use in the future. Again, Danny Ainge is someone who is a bit of a risk taker and pretty unpredictable. And I think if you went around the league and you asked 10 different teams, 12 different teams, what are the Celtics going to do tonight? You probably get 9 or 10 different opinions about that. He's that unpredictable. Long term, what's happening with the Celtics? Well, they're going to be a big player in the upcoming free agency market. That's going to be an important time period for them. And then they're going to build off whoever they collect in free agency, as well as this young group that they're collecting through draft picks.
Opinion here, although they made it into the playoffs and did fairly well, they got bounced out, and they do need more help, don't they?
They do need more help. And also, you have to have a long-term strategy when you're in the NBA today and you're not the Cleveland Cavaliers and you're not the Golden State Warriors. The general consensus is that those teams will be at the top of the heap for at least a couple more years, maybe 2 or 3 years. So your strategy, where your team wants to sort of crescendo in a way, you might want to be after the rise of those two teams, or as those two teams are on the downside of their reigns. So I don't think there's as much urgency, perhaps, to have a finals team next year. You'd like to make it back to the Eastern Conference Finals if you're the Celtics. Obviously, you want to keep progressing and moving forward. But I do think with the way Danny Ainge is collecting young players and draft picks, his long-term horizon is a couple years, 2 or 3 years out.
Very interesting. Let me come back to tonight, though. Trading away the top pick and the player who might have been selected with that pick is very rare. Only the seventh time it's happened in NBA history, but one of those seven times was done by the Celtics, and that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, they traded away the number one for a number three pick that turned out to be a guy named Kevin McHale. Have you heard of him?
You think?
And also along with that trade, they got another guy named Robert Parrish. So you add Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish to Larry Bird, and we all know what happened then. Three NBA titles with that group together.
Well, let's hope Danny Ainge has the same luck and savvy going forward with what may or may not happen tonight at the NBA draft.
I was going to say, there are not many who can match the savvy of Red Auerbach, who was the orchestrator of that early 1980 trade.
All right, I'm breaking out my cigar beforehand, though. I'm breaking out Red's cigar beforehand. WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer, thanks a lot for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you. I'll take a few puffs on that cigar.